today as we come to the table.
We're reaching tens of thousands of people all at one time in one service. Jesus couldn't do that. He could only reach the thousands that were there with him, the people that were there. So when he says, you're going to do greater works than I can do, it's not just modern technology with the internet. It was spread around the world through all believers having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But right now in this room, we're experiencing in one way, not being greater than Jesus, but a greater work than Jesus could do in that day by limited technology. It's happening right now.
Jesus' life and ministry had such an amazing impact on this world and continues to have an impact on millions of lives. Yet he told his disciples that they would do an even greater work than he did. Now that's hard to fathom, but Pastor Mark will help clarify this statement in today's message. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. While we can't be greater than Jesus, the short time he had on earth, as well as the limitations of communication and travel in his time, meant that his audience was relatively small. Now, we're blessed to live in a world where we can share the gospel with nearly anyone, anywhere on the planet, with a simple click of a button. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 14, as he continues his message entitled, Understanding God in Prayer.
No one could have gone at will and opened the ears of the deaf of anyone they wanted except God. No one could have walked up to the dead and raised them at will without being God. And we saw him do this on numerous occasions. So what he's saying to them is, look, even if you're struggling with some of the things that I say, believe me for the works themselves that I am God Almighty. You're looking at him, powerful. And so, again, the first thing I want you to grasp out of today is this. You want to understand who God the Father is? You want to have a better understanding of God? Go through the Gospels and look at Jesus. He is God revealed to mankind. And I love that because that takes away all questions. Every religion has their version of Jesus or their version of God. But if you want to know what God is really like, he showed us. He came and took on human form, and now we can know. This is powerful. So the first thing the Lord does to them is say, look, this, I am God Almighty. Understand that. And then after all these things, that they really grasped this, would have been going through their minds of all they'd learned and seen of the Lord, and just how valuable that would be as they now started out on this new venture of leading the church and doing this whole new work of God here on planet Earth. And the second thing he comes to now is answered prayer. Look at this starting in verse 12. Look what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. What a statement. How in the world could we do greater works than Jesus did? If you're like me, the first thing that pops in my mind is, I can't raise the dead. I can't give the sight to the blind. I can't, you know, make the deaf hear or whatever. And although I do believe that God still does and will do those kind of miracles in certain situations, as we pray and ask God to do it, the bottom line is, how can that be greater than Jesus? He's already done that. He's not saying that we can be greater than him in the sense of the power that we individually have. What he's saying is, it's because I go to the Father, and he's going to let him know in a moment, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, that is the Paraclete. We'll talk more about who the Holy Spirit is next week, get into it a little bit this week. But what he's saying is, I'm going to take my Holy Spirit that is in me, that is indwelling me, that I'm doing these amazing things in, and I'm going to put them in multitudes. The church. You, church, are going to have and do have today the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I'll kind of give you a teaser of what we're going to be looking at next week, but there are three main workings of the Holy Spirit today in the, what we call the New Testament church. He is with us, he is in us, and he is upon us. Now, prior to the cross, only two of those functioned. He was with them, and he was upon them. And we see that all through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets, and they would go do these great works for God. He was with them and leading them into battle and all these other things he did. But he wasn't in them except on rare occasion and only for short moments. There's a couple of prophets, or a prophet, he enters a prophet for just a moment and comes back out of the prophet, enters the prophet again, comes back out of the prophet. Why? Because the indwelling or the living inside of someone, God cannot take up permanent residence in someone that is not holy. In other words, the sin precludes that. It won't allow it. So how do any of us have the indwelling? He can be with us. He can be upon us for power, as we'll talk about this in more detail next week. How could he be in us now? Because of the cross. When he died on the cross, sin was paid for. When we go and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, now he's able to what? Indwell us. And every believer, when you give your life to Christ, what happens? You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit at that very moment. That wasn't possible till the cross. There was no indwelling until the cross. So now what he's saying to them is, there's going to be this indwelling, and you're going to do greater works than I've done by the indwelling and by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Let me give an example of how we can do greater works. Now, the Lord could have done anything he wanted. He's God. He could have spoken to the world with a big megaphone. Hello, everyone. This is God. He could have gone right in their huts and right in their little villages and right in their houses, and the Lord could have spoken to all of them one time. But the Bible says he laid aside his divine prerogative to some degree, in the sense that he became a man, still fully God, but fully man. He didn't use special technology that we don't have. He operated in the power of the Spirit, but he didn't like say, I'm going to go ahead and use the internet, although they won't know about it for thousands of years. I'm going to go ahead and use it to reach the world. He just remained as he was and allowed himself to be used by the Holy Spirit. But guys, look what we have today with modern technology. And even before that, with millions of people having the Holy Spirit inhabit them, God could reach millions of people around the world all at one time through other believers when he was the only one that had the power of God flowing through him when he was on the earth, or the indwelling, if you will. Here's an example of greater works than Jesus. It's happening right now in this room, not because anybody here is greater than Jesus. And he wasn't saying that we would be greater than Jesus. But get this, right now, because of radio and the internet and these cameras, we are going around the world and people are watching. How do I know that? Because we can go to our computer and see all these different countries where people tune in. We can see all these different cities around America where people listen to it by radio and all listen to the radio station and all this. We're reaching tens of thousands of people all at one time in one service. Jesus couldn't do that. He could only reach the thousands that were there with him, the people that were there. So when he says, you're going to do greater works than I can do, it's not just modern technology with the internet. It was spread around the world through all believers having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But right now in this room, we're experiencing in one way, not being greater than Jesus, but a greater work than Jesus could do in that day by limited technology. It's happening right now. And so this is what he's talking about. You're going to be doing things that you know, again, you're going to be doing things that are going to even surpass what I was able to do because of the limitations of mankind, not because of who he was or because of his power, but because of the way technology and different things have changed and the fact of everyone having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. And so he can do so much more. And again, that's what's so good about when the Lord went away sending his Holy Spirit. Now, rather than just the people that he's in front of being able to minister to, he ministers to everyone in this room individually. You know, right now, the Holy Spirit is saying different things to different people in this room. That's always amazed me as a pastor. And I've shared this with you guys before. When I get up and share the Word of God, he's saying something different to all of you guys, what you need to hear. The Spirit individually is doing that because he's indwelling you. He's inside of you. And oftentimes, he shares with you a lot of things that I never even hear. Some of you guys come up and you'll say, wow, it was so neat today. The God said this and did that. And you're sharing things with me that I've never seen. I didn't teach that. And I'm going, ooh, this is good. Just keep talking. I'm going to jot this down. You know, good stuff coming from you guys. Because the Holy Spirit is living within you. That's what he's talking about. And so it's exciting to know that we can be a part of something like this. He said, you're going to do greater works because I go to the Father. Now, again, he goes to the Father, and now he's going to be able to send the Holy Spirit, which is going to make this possible. But look at verse 13. He said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, the reason God answers our prayer is so that God may be glorified. Note that. That is one of the main things about prayer, that God be glorified by our prayer. But this is where it gets even deeper and more intense. Look at verse 14. And by the way, this has been abused. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, there are false teachers out there that say, guess what? You like that Porsche? Pray in faith and it's yours. You like that mansion? Pray in faith and it's yours. You want to be a millionaire? Just give me all your money and somehow that's supposed to make you a millionaire. I hadn't figured that one out yet, but if y'all want to be rich, just give me everything you own and you'll be rich. That's not a servant of God. That's a servant of self. A servant of God will give to you. If those men really believed in what they're saying, they'd be sending you money. Why? You know why they'd be sending you money? Because they'd say, wait a minute, I'm going to put a seed faith in all my people watching because I want God to give it back to me. But you'll never see them send you money, will you? They'll send you the letter. I was praying for you this morning, brother. Thinking about you. Hey, plant this seed in our ministry and watch what God does. Listen, should we be giving to the kingdom of God? Absolutely. Should we be faithful to tithe and all these things? Look, money is not something that God needs. It's really a test for us. If you want to honestly know that the tithe and all that, really what God's doing is testing your heart. Do you really believe what he says? If you give, are you really trusting he's going to take care of your needs and then even bless you more like he says in his word? That's the bottom line. He's going to do it. It's a test for us. It's a test of obedience. It's a test of love. All those things come in. And as we mature, we begin to understand that and see how God has set this whole thing up. But the bottom line is God's not saying that we can ask whatever we want and just like God has to be the Santa Claus in heaven. What God is saying is, note this, he qualifies this, and there's two things I want to point out. The first one is, he says, if you ask anything in my name. Now, a little bit of background about what it meant in your name. Back in that day, everyone was known by their name. Now, we say, well, we're known by our name today. No, it's different. Back then, the family name carried weight. And if you came, say, from the region of Galilee and you said, you know, my name is, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, and, oh, you're Joseph's son or whatever. Whenever you're connected to a name, it was connected to your family. And if your family had a bad name, then you had a bad name. If your family had a good name, you had a good name. But your name meant who you were as a person, what your character was like as a person. If you wanted to know what someone's like, it's their name that you would look to. And there is a degree to that still today, but it was really heavy in the culture back in that day. So they would have understood exactly what Jesus was saying. And that is this, when you pray, you've got to do it the way I would pray. Here's what Jesus is saying. You want to see, I will do it. And you'll see amazing things, but you've got to pray in the way that I would. You've got to pray for things that I would pray. Don't be asking for, you know, whatever this and that just because you want to satisfy your flesh. Be praying for things that will bring glory to the Father and bring glory to me. And if you pray for those things that bring glory to the Father and bring glory to me, then I will do it. It will happen. Guys, there's great confidence in that. When you begin to understand that, you can have your prayer time and say, God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is in your will. I am praying in your name. It may not be for the new car or the new this or the new that or money or whatever, but I know this, God. You want them in the kingdom of God. Lord, I lift my family up to you, and in the name of Jesus, I ask you to draw my family to yourself. Now, note this. Does that mean your family will be saved? It does not. But Mark, wait a minute. You just said that if I prayed that God would draw them to you, if I pray anything in Jesus' name and that we knows in his will that God will do it. He will do his part, but God never forces anyone into the kingdom. In other words, if you pray for your family, here's the guarantee he gives you. He will go and convict your family. He will convict them of the Holy Spirit. That's in his will. How do I know that's in his will? Because Jesus said the Bible says this, it is God's will that none perish, but all come to salvation through Jesus Christ. So if I know that God's will is that nobody goes to hell, that's his will. He says so in his word. That means when I pray for someone to be drawn to Christ and to come to the Lord, I know I'm praying in the will of the Father. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I can pray that in great confidence. God, do it. And I know that God will go to them. God will convict them. God will draw them. Here's the problem. And it's not really a problem. It's a wonderful thing, but it seems like a problem in one way. God gives them a choice as to whether or not they'll accept that or not. God's not going to force anybody into the kingdom. You see, love demands a choice. There is no love without choice. Now, can you imagine if you had to just get married to someone that you didn't have any choice in? Again, I know historically in some cultures that kind of thing has happened and still probably happening in some areas of the world today. But you would never know, do they really love me? They had to marry me. They had no choice. I think about people that have lots and lots of money. These men sometimes you see that are billionaires. And by the way, it goes both ways. Women seeking after wealthy men seeking after wealthy women. I've heard both. But if you were super wealthy, you're going to have a lot of women throwing themselves at you if you're a man. If you're a woman and you're super wealthy, you're going to have a lot of guys coming out of the woodwork, oh, you know, wanting to know you, whatever, because the motivation is for the money. It's not for you. How would you ever really know? Unless they don't know and they have to make a choice. And I was thinking if you were like super, super rich and single. By the way, if you're here and you're super, super rich and you're single and you're wanting to get married, let's put all those qualifiers in place. Drive a junker car. Live in a medium house. Because you're going to find out who really wants you for who you are. And how exciting. You know, one day when you find that person, you're driving the car and the door doesn't close good. And they say, you know, I just want to be with you. I love you. And I want to be with you. I love you. And say, I got a surprise for you. Can you imagine? But I think about it. How would you ever know anybody really loves you? You wouldn't really know. So God doesn't force anyone to love him. Here's why. He wants us to know. And he wants to know. You know what? You love me because you love me. Not because I forced you to or made you to. But you chose to. It's a beautiful thing. And it's understanding that relational situation that we have with God and the relationship we have with God and the love that we have with God and this whole promise here, you know. So anything you say, so you pray for your family, well, again, they may not come to the Lord, but God will definitely go to them and convict them. God will definitely draw them to him. And then they have a choice to make. And so we have to, again, when we think about what are we going to pray for, Jesus said this, I only do those things that please the Father. So am I praying for things that please the Father, or am I just praying for things that please me? It doesn't mean you can't ask for things that you have need of or that you want, but it's that mindset of what character, what name am I praying in, my name or his name? Now, that's the first thing that I wanted you to grasp. The second thing before we move on from this verse is this. Note this. He's only speaking to disciples. He's not saying to the world, anything you pray in my name, I'll do it. He's saying, you've got to know me. There has to be a relationship. This is an intimate moment with the 11 closest followers in the world of Jesus Christ at that time, because Judas was already gone. But the bottom line is, he said, if you guys ask that, if you're walking closer, and this brings up another point. If we're walking close with the Lord and we're his disciple, we're going to pray for what he wants. We're not going to pray for what we want, or we're going to pray for what he wants. And so when you see these qualifiers, being a follower, being a close disciple, I will do whatever you ask for. Praying in his name, that is what he would want, his character, I will do that for you. These are great promises. And so we can pray with great confidence in the midst of that. I love it. And now he gets into, again, the Holy Spirit. We're going to start into this just a little bit today and before we wrap this up. And then next week, we'll look in more detail. But I think it's important to tie this in even to today. And again, the Lord is jumping from subject to subject to subject because he's covering all these different areas that he wants to cover with his disciples before he leaves. And so that's why we have all these things covered here in this short amount of time. Look at what he says in verse 15. And this is challenging. If you love me, and I have if underlined, keep my commandments. Guys, Jesus gave us a litmus test to prove whether we love him or not. Here it is. That one verse. Anyone can say, I love the Lord. I have people tell me that all the time. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And a lot of times it always amazes me when somebody comes up to me that I know is living in sin. They know they're living in sin. They are refusing to repent. And they say, well, I love the Lord, but, whoa, stop right there. You don't really love him. Don't judge me. I'm not. I'm just examining the fruit. And the fruit hanging on your tree is pretty clear to see. Jesus said this by his own words. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You're not obeying him. And I'm not talking about being perfect, never failing. I'm saying choosing to live in willful sin. Listen, if you right now are sleeping around or getting drunk or doing drugs or doing something else, pornography, and all this is going on, I'm not saying that a true believer can't do that. I believe that we can fall and fail in our flesh and get in the flesh, and that can happen even to a believer. I'm not saying that. I'm not even putting a judgment on your salvation at this moment. Here's what I'm saying. If you're doing that, you're not loving Jesus. How do I know that? Because of what he said right here. He said, if you love me, what? You'll obey me. You'll obey my commands. If we're not obeying him, we're not loving him. And so the Lord gives us a strong, powerful litmus test, a proof of who loves him and who doesn't love him. Anyone can say they love Jesus, and many do, but if they're not obeying him, they're either deceived or they're lying to themselves, because only those who love him truly obey him, and only those who obey him truly love him. That's just how it works. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, and note this, and this is going to be a scary day on Judgment Day. Listen to what he said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So even though using the name of Jesus, he said, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So doers, not sayers. Many will say to me in that day. Note the word many. This is heavy stuff. It's not just a small amount. It's like when the Lord said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That means a lot of people are deceived. I was one of those for 25 years, good churchgoer, good, well, wasn't a good preacher's son, but a preacher's son and a churchgoer and all the stuff that goes with all the stereotypes, and they're all true. But anyway, few there be that find it. Same type thing here. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness. Guys, we're going to be watching that. You're going to see that verse right there happen one day. Now, when this happens, you're going to go, wow, remember we talked about that at church. You're going to be there. We're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to watch this happen. He's gathering the peoples in front of him. And from all indications of Scripture, we'll be there watching this. So we're going to see this multitude of people standing before the Lord just going like, why are we not with your people? What's going on? Lord, didn't we prophesied? We did all this. Lord, this huge crowd, can you imagine, throughout history? And we're going to hear the Lord say, I don't know you. Depart from me. Whoa. Is that going to be heavy or what? Listen, don't be in that crowd. Don't be in that crowd. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're going to be in that crowd. It doesn't matter how much you went to church or what you said or didn't say. It's going to be a matter of, did you really put your faith in Jesus Christ? Make sure you're with us in the crowd that's watching it with like, whoa, rather than the crowd going, what? What? It's interesting. The Bible says on Judgment Day, get this, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's two different categories. Throughout Scripture, weeping is those who are sorrowful for what's happened. Throughout Scripture, gnashing of teeth are those who are mad about what happened. What it means is there's going to be a lot of people that don't get in the kingdom, and among that group of people that don't get into heaven, some will be weeping, going, why didn't I listen? How could I have been such a fool? God gave me time after time after time, and I still didn't receive him. And there's going to be another group in that crowd that's going to be gnashing of teeth. I hate you. I hate all of you. I don't want to be with you. And both crowds are going to be there. We're going to be watching that going, whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you thankful that you know the Lord? We're never going to face that. Heavy duty. But there's going to be those who are not obeying, and they're going to be facing that, and it's a big deal. And I think we need to examine our life and make sure that we're not going to be in that crowd who's saying, Lord, Lord, did we not? He's like, you know what? It doesn't matter what we think. It's a matter of what we do, and are we obeying him? Make sure we're in the right crowd, so to speak. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father. Here comes that promise. We're going to go quickly. And I will pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. Again, we'll talk about who that is next week, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. That is, you'll never be alone again. You'll always have the Holy Spirit with you. They would need to know this. They would need to be encouraged by this because Jesus is about to leave them. And although they don't understand yet he's about to leave them, they're going to understand it soon. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to know this. And I love this. He says, and this is so cool to me. Look what he says here. I will pray the Father. That is, I'll speak to the Father in heaven and he will give you another helper. That really jumped out at me like never before. What he's saying is, I'll be next to the Father. Father, give them the Holy Spirit. And I think it's more than just give them the Holy Spirit. I think it's give Mark the Holy Spirit. Give Ed, Joe, Steve, Lucy, whoever. Give them the Holy Spirit. That is, I believe that Jesus by name has said you to the Father in heaven to receive the Holy Spirit and to have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's exciting. You ever wonder if God knows your name? Jesus is talking about you in heaven by name, saying give them the Holy Spirit.
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus' apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6:00.
a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.